Good morning. Good to see you. Thank you for coming today. I really appreciate you coming and choosing to be with us. There's so many great churches in the Valley, and it's a privilege that you're here. We are in part two of a series that we're calling Shine, and I just want to jump in with a story that happened on Wednesday. Wednesday, at about 5 in the morning, I was actually running a little late from what I was planning. I was in my car with my dog heading toward my spot where I go hike and pray, and already in the car where I'm praying, and there's a visual distraction in the road ahead, and I'm looking, and it looks an awful lot like a dollar on the double yellow line. There's no cars in front of me and no cars behind me, and so I slowed down and opened my door, stopped, reached down, and it wasn't a dollar. It wasn't $5. Well, I picked it up. It was $100. And called my wife. I was quite excited about that, celebrated. Hey, we gotta do something special with that. And then drove to my spot and parked my car. And I was a little running a little behind, so I put my glasses on to finish my memory work and my memory app. And then I didn't want to leave it on the seat like I just placed it there. I put it in my pocket and headed off. And then I thought, you know what? I had my glasses on. I wanted to take a closer look. And I want you to take a closer look. So here it is on the screen. Man, it looked real. So I had to call my wife and let her know how disappointed I was. Sorry. It's copy money. And it even says on it, not legal tender, play money, copy money. Man, it's so real on the front, on the back. It felt real, but wasn't quite real. So the point of that story is... What is the point of that story? The point of that story is, just as a counterfeit bill is worthless, so also is a counterfeit faith. So I want to play on that idea a little bit. So on the screen is a real picture of a real $100 bill. You notice it doesn't say copy money. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And then I put a quote there, real faith is legal tender in God's spiritual economy and backed by God's word and God's power. But for legal tender, you have to have real faith. It can't be copy faith. It's got to be real faith. So we're going to think about that idea as we proceed this morning. Last week, we started with Jesus' words in Matthew 5, where he tells us that you are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and hide it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And yet, when I look around, and when I even look into my own life, so frequently I'm not as shining in my faith, and it seems like across the nation we are a little bit more skittish to talk about our faith, and yet Jesus says, you're not to hide this thing. It's impossible to hide this thing if it's real faith. Because it's shining on a hill like a town on a hill in the night. You don't hide those towns. Those lights just show. And it's like lighting a lamp in your house. You would never light a lamp in your house and then hide it under a bowl. No, the purpose of that light is to shine it before everyone. To fill that home, to each corner, with as much light as you can fill it with. And Jesus is telling us we have to work at being so real in our faith that his light shines right through us And that's why he says to us, you are the light of the world. So there's a mystery there in how his light and our lives come together. And we talked about that a lot last week. So welcome to part two of Shine. Shine, but I'm too weak. That's a lot of the sentiments of people. Why is it that you don't talk about it more? Why is it that you know people can't really tell that you're even a Christian? Well, you know, I'm not a very good example. Don't follow me. You know, I'm too weak. Or last week we talked about, I don't know enough. I feel inadequate. And so this week is a slightly different side of it. So today's theme is about learning how to leverage our weaknesses to shine with real faith. Leverage our weaknesses to shine with real faith. So I want to begin with a counterintuitive point, and that is point number one. Real faith works best in your weaknesses. Now, this one thing to say that, it's another thing to really get it, and it really isn't how we normally think. We don't like to present our weaknesses. We like to hide our weaknesses. We want to present our strengths. And yet, we're going to learn this counterintuitive truth. So to get at this truth, I need to give you some background, because we're going to read a statement, which was an answer to prayer for Paul. But what was it he was praying? He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, that he prayed three times that this malady that he was experiencing, that we are not told what it is, which I kind of like that, because we kind of see ourselves in whatever weakness he was experiencing, because we all have weaknesses. His was a physical weakness, that his perception was that his ministry is being hampered by this thing. In fact, his text even says it was sent by Satan, and yet he discovers that God is using this thing that the enemy is also using. That's a weird concept. But it's true that God is sovereign over all. He can take the stuff that the enemy is doing in our lives and allow it for his purposes to bring about greater strength. So Paul was praying and praying and praying. In fact, he settles in on verse 8 and saying, I prayed three times. Now, I don't think those are just like little sentence prayers, one after another at one. I think these are intense agony before God, because this thing is slowing him down. And his passion is to shine brightly, and this is getting in the way. And then we get this surprising answer from God that is counterintuitive for all of us, that we're going to wrestle with this morning. So 2 Corinthians 12:9 reads this way. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, I don't think that Paul's reaction was so snap right away. He's thought this through. He's reflected on this. He's been really thinking through God's answer. He stopped praying, by the way, that God would remove this thing, whatever it was. I mean, he didn't pray the fourth time or the 64th time and plead with God. Once he got the answer no from God, he was not praying that this would be removed anymore. Why? He had to think about this. He tells us why. Because God says, my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that God, Christ's power may rest on me. So let's pick at this a little bit. Paul's perspective, this weakness was slowing down his effectiveness. What was God's perspective? God's perspective, this weakness was perfecting Paul's strength. So those two perspectives collided in that prayer time. And God had to overrule Paul's perspective, and he had to adjust his perspective to match God's perspective. Sometimes that happens rapidly. I don't know how how fast it happened for Paul, but he came to the conclusion, and we're going to see this even further as we go, that I need to think about this thing the way God thinks about this thing. Now, having said that alone, you have now just heard something that you're going to have to wrestle with, because what weakness comes to your mind? What difficulty have you been praying that God would just remove and make it easy? And what is God's perspective on it as he hasn't done that yet? And does it match your perspective? And can you trust God in his perspective more than your perspective? Those are a lot of questions, and those are wrestling points that we have to deal with throughout our life. It's not a once-and-done lesson, is it? And we learn this counterintuitive truth that real faith works best in your weakness. So real faith remains confident in God's strength even when God's answer to your prayer is no or wait. Maybe I'm being overly simplistic, but it seems like those are the basic answers: yes, no, or wait. And usually, we're guessing, and so we keep praying. But Paul reached a point where he was no longer guessing. It was an answer. And he now shifted gears to try to see from God's perspective. Copy faith on the screen questions God when he does not answer according to your own understanding. Copy faith questions God when he does not answer according to your understanding. Copy faith can be a faith, this is the next quote, based on what you think is reasonable faith, but it is based on your own understanding instead of God's word and God's power. Now, Paul received God's word. Now, if he puts real faith in God's word, he's going to receive God's power that is promised according to the word he received. Now, he has a decision to make: to continue in the faith that he had before that promise, or in his own understanding. You know, is he going to do God's perspective, God's understanding on this, or his own understanding on this? Now, this particular passage rocked my boat 14 years ago. It wasn't new events or hardships that rocked my boat. It wasn't a big whammy experience. It came from the last time I preached through 2 Corinthians and I settled in on studying this passage. And my discoveries here were rocking my world. And I made some decisions. It was like defining moments that transformed how I thought I was supposed to lead this church and how we as a church needed to proceed forward in a completely different way than we were functioning previous to that. Now, to get at that, I mean, I have a little, it's kind of nice, you know, I have, the way I do messages is I think, I study, I manuscript. So you could call it journaling, whatever you want to call it. So I have a manuscript that I could reference. I just want to read to you the message portion from July 4th, 2010. Lately, we've been going about this all wrong. We've been doing church from natural strengths rather than from supernatural strengths. We need to operate from our weakness, to rely on God and to pray, knowing that apart from God's strength, we can do nothing. The way we shine in our lives before others is what we say and do must flow out of the supernatural. Our invitations should not simply be convincing people to come because we are strong in this or that or some other human comparative level. We need to do evangelism out of our weakness. We need to be doing church out of our weakness. We need to be walking with God out of our weakness. Because when we are weak, then we are strong. Seriously, I'm not exactly sure how to lead us as a church in this. I've really been wrestling with this passage, but I fear we are tending to do things from our strengths, and we've got to change that. We've got to get back to doing things from our weak and desperate cry for God and operate more from his strength in everything and not do it on our own. And one of the things that shifted is I began to talk about my weaknesses. And in talking about my weaknesses, many of you could resonate. Because isn't it true? We all have them. We all have these weaknesses. If we acknowledge them, we're going to cry out to God and ask for his help, which is a fabulous thing to do. When you know you are weak, the chances are greater that you will ask God for help. Your weakness is an opportunity for your faith to do faith training repetitions, like spiritual exercises, to become stronger. If you think you're strong, guess what you're not going to do? The faith training spiritual repetitions, because you're already strong, and you think so. But you're not. You're operating in the natural. And it's a copy faith. And it isn't real, tender, in the economy of God's promises. His promise to give you power and to sense that he's with you, working through you in this cooperative life that he's designed you for. He's designed you to live in connection with his life and sense it and keep leaning on it and experience a power that's not your own, and it's supernatural help in those things that you struggle in, those very weaknesses where you cry out, help me. And to experience that strengthens your faith. And you're going to be working on these repetitions in so many different ways to be able to experience that more dramatically, to know what it feels like to truly walk with God instead of just believe a few things. Real faith works best in your weakness. Point number two, God can use your weakness. God can use your weakness. I want to use Moses again as an illustration. I used Moses last week. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses felt inadequate and fearful. He also felt very weak in one particular area. Let's look at this. Exodus 4, 10 through 12. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" I don't even like that verse. It's like, wait, you're taking credit for what seems like the results of the fall. Well, I'm God. I'm over all. So rather than look at your bummer of an inheritance in birth, I was deaf or blind, look at it as your birthright that God has created you with a special weakness to have an opportunity for a special power in depending on him. But I don't like that. Just being honest. It's like, who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So here's my question based on that reading. Why did God choose a person to be his chief spokesperson when that person believed his communication skills were his greatest weakness? You want me to what? Why did God choose him to do his greatest weakness? I mean, saying, I'm not eloquent. I'm not a speaker. That's not me. You got the wrong guy. You want me to be your prophet? No. Chief spokesman? I'm out. Right? That's where Moses is coming from. So why does God do this? Here's the answer. God knew that Moses' weakness would help him maintain the correct orientation. If you think you're strong, you chose the right guy, God. I've got this. If you think you're weak, God, help me. It's the correct orientation. Because then the two of you are working together, and the supernatural coupled with your natural is what it means to be human, operating according to the design of God. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, gave us what is called the Great Commission. I often like to refer to it as the Great Co-mission, because it's not a mission we do on our own. He, in fact, tells us he's going to be with us in it and helping us every step of the way to the very, very end. And it's not this Great Commission that is for just the preacher types. It's not just for the super disciples. It's for all his followers, that we're to go wherever he places us and be those people that shine. And like Moses, we're called to rescue people out of their current bondage and slavery into a life of freedom in the good news of Jesus Christ. Before meeting Jesus Christ, whether you believe this or not, it is true. You are in bondage to sin. After meeting Jesus Christ, you have the answer, at least in relational form, whether you're accessing that answer or not, I don't know. The answer that unlocks the prison door that you're in to set you free from that bondage. But some people, the door's unlocked and they're more comfortable in the bondage, so they don't even open the door and walk out in the power that God gives us. To the degree that you exercise the real faith will be to the degree that you experience the freedom, because Jesus gives it to you and gives you the power to walk away from your sin. Will it be real faith, or will it be this deceived faith that still is stuck in what you believe about your sin being good? Real faith works best in your weakness. Point number two, God can use your weakness. Point number three, God chooses the weak to display his power. God chooses the weak to display his power. On the screen, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 demonstrates this truth. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Thanks, God. You just called me the foolish things. It's like, he says, no, if you understand that, embrace that, you're going to have the correct orientation. But watch what he can do with you and your weakness. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Paul reminds us that God often chooses the weak and foolish to demonstrate he's at work here. Nobody would guess it. Where is that coming from? It's kind of like when all these fishermen start teaching the Bible experts what the Bible really says, and they're right. Where's their boldness coming from? How is they're getting this education? How are they able to stand up to the very ones that can put them to death, just like they put to death their master? What is it about them? And they say, it's obvious. They've been with Jesus because they're just like him. That's a Jim Hammond loose paraphrase of a section of Acts. Read it. Great book. Okay. So, our response should be humility. Recognize that any ability to shine with his light and with his life comes from him. It's not from our own abilities. And yet, you have to exercise an initiative taking. You can't just sit and be passive and wait for it to happen. Wham! No, you're doing spiritual reps. You're giving the Holy Spirit tools. Your whole self, as well as your whole mind, as you're in the Word, and he's starting to piece things together, and those spiritual reps and prayer, you're just growing and growing and growing, but you're totally connected to his power and totally humble about your need for it. So, in summary, real faith works best in your weakness. God can use your weakness. God chooses the weak to display his power. Point number four, depend on the Holy Spirit's power. Depend on the Holy Spirit's power. Acts 1:8 reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this is what Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and he told them, don't leave the city. Just stay right here. Wait. And so they waited another 10 days. This is 40 days of seeing Jesus alive and resurrected, preaching to crowds, showing up to individuals, disappearing, walking through walls, like totally with a body. But it's like freaking me out. It's not, you're not ghost, you're body, but then you're on a whole different level. And just on and on it went. And then he leaves, but he says, wait in the city 10 days. That 10 days later, as they're praying, and then they don't know when it's going to come, and then suddenly, boom, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Visibly, audibly, with power, people are watching, and it just sets the movement on fire. And it's no longer natural. It's the natural people who believe in the resurrection of Jesus are on fire with this confidence and with this power and with the message, and it's just spreading like wildfire because it's changed their lives radically. There's no fear anymore, and everybody else wants in on it, and it changes the whole Roman Empire over a short period of time. Depend on the Holy Spirit's power. Real faith works best in your weakness. God can use your weakness. God chooses the weak to display his power. Depend on the Holy Spirit's power. Point number five, find joy in your weaknesses. So let's get back to the key text where we started in 2 Corinthians 12:9. We're going to pick up that verse we just read and keep going. Paul responded to God's surprising answer. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses." Let's say that together. I delight in weaknesses. I'm lying. Let's say it again. I delight in weaknesses. We gotta say it to the point where we believe it. And recognize when we're saying it, it's like, why am I resisting this so much? But we do. But Paul got to the place where he believed God's perspective about his weakness, where he could say it with confidence and boast about it and just talk about God's power that's shining right through it. And we need to get to the place where this is our affirmation. I delight in my weaknesses. He doesn't stop there. I delight in insults. Lie with me. I delight in insults. It's like, really? I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's seeing at this in such a counterintuitive way. It's revolutionized the way he does life, the way he looks at life. He says, I don't care. Mock me. I don't care. Throw me in prison. I don't care. This joy is so big, you're not going to stop it. I'm boasting about this power that I can't even contain. I do not care. Bring it on. I want to get there. So I'm not really lying. I want to say those things as affirmations so that I can get there. Am I there right now? No. I'm right there wherever I am, and God's helping me take steps to where he wants me to be. And there's a journey there for me. There's a journey right now. This is what that journey looks like for me right now. Not in detail, but I became convinced that my plan for this series, which was going to be like 6 or 8 sessions long, and we're going to get into helping us shine and know how to do this more effectively, I just felt like God was saying, pivot. Pivot. Let's pause here. Let's get to this place where we learn how to delight, because this is foundational. This is fundamental. This is so personal. Until we can get to the place where the joy of the Lord is our strength, we're not going to shine. Can I say that again? Until we get to the place where the joy of the Lord is our strength, we're not going to shine. We're going to try. We're going to keep doing it in the natural. We're going to try to dutifully follow Jesus. But that's not what this series Shine is about. So we're going to pivot. And I've made a decision that we'll pause here and we'll continue with the very idea that Paul just gave us. I delight in my weaknesses. And we're going to move over to the little letter of Philippians. And we're going to shift from a series called Shine to a series called Rejoice. Okay? And so I'm planning on going through the whole book. So when I say book, come on, really, it's like 4 pages. Right? And we're going to go through it. Not every paragraph is going to be platform paragraph. We're going to go from platform paragraph to small group study. And if you're not in a small group doing the sermon-based study, you can keep track on your own as you will receive it each Sunday. By the time we get through, we'll have covered every paragraph. That's my hope. Okay? So we're going to go there. I'm excited about that. I hope you'll be excited about that little pivot, because I think that's what we need. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
Anybody want a $100 bill? Yeah. Let's go for the real stuff. All right. But you know what? This is kind of weird, but I was kind of grateful for this fake piece to get at something more valuable than $100. Right? This is God at work helping us see where the values are really at. If you're a guest today, we're glad you came. We'd love for you to fill out a little connect card. Take it to the next steps table on your way out. Drop it off. And I believe they have gift bags for you there. That's not why we're asking you to do it, but you might like that. And we'd love to communicate with you. And if you have a prayer need, we'd love for you to fill that out. Drop it in the giving box. That's a little easier for some, but if you really need prayer right now, we got a prayer team that's gathered over there to pray for whatever that might be that you need. So let's close in prayer and look to God and ask God to help us shift our perspective so that we can live in a more fundamental, foundational joy where we shine. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the power that comes from you and not just from relying on the things that we learn, the things that we think we have, the things that we've got, but constantly relying on you in faith, even in when to say something, how to say something, when to not say something, even in the way we serve and the way we make a difference when we don't feel like it, but we know it's you leading us by faith so that you're more the center of our thinking to shine for your glory and to be an instrument, a servant in your hands. Lord God, we thank you that's even possible because of the good news of Jesus Christ, where we can unite with you and experience you in this powerful way. We love it. We want to learn more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.